Well, last week we're on the floor. The Lord really impressed upon me to start to challenge you, to encourage you, to start praying for things off the wall. And by off the wall, I'm not talking weird or stupid. I'm talking about things that you cannot do anything for. Things that you cannot bring about in your own life. So the title of today's message is Off the Wall. Because to be honest with you, I mean, there's a certain amount of normalcy I like. But why be like everybody else? Why look the same? God didn't create us to look the same, did he? I mean, right, there's my flesh and blood sister. We don't look the same, but we have the same exact parents. So, why is it the body of Christ seems to think that we cannot ask for things off the wall? Oh, that's crazy, we say. I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible this morning that God wants you to ask things off the wall. He wants you to ask things that are crazy. Because let me ask you this. If you can do it in your own strength, why do you need God? You don't. And God wants you to need him. That's called faith. But we want to just continue on thinking, oh, you know, I better not ask for that. That's just a little over the top. So where's the top? Who's top? Whose guideline are you judging by what you ask God for in prayer? Are you using man's that says, well, you know what? You're a Christian. You can only have so much prosperity and so much success in life. Everybody else, though, they're way up here. And they get, a lot of them, this is being taught from the church, from the pulpit, so they got it out of Matthew 19, where Jesus said it is difficult for a rich man to enter into heaven. He said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's our start off scripture this morning, Matthew 19, 26. But with God, all things are possible. So why not ask him? Why not ask him to do something so bizarre? He likes doing things bizarre. Have you figured that out yet? If you think I'm crazy, go look at some of the animals he created. The sea creatures. I mean, come on. There are fish. We've talked about this. There are fish in the sea that are... they look like something out of a science fiction horror movie. That's what we label them as. But God saw it as beautiful. Man, they got big old long teeth and bony exoskeletons, and they're just gnarly looking things. But it's bizarre. He likes when people want to ask for bizarre. Now, he's not asking you to be bizarre. Oh, yeah, here, let's go pointy ears, and while we're at it, let's grow fangs. And no. On us, that's just ridiculous. Okay? He created us in his image. But yet, we're afraid to ask God for things. Well, that's going to be stretching the envelope just a little bit. We're supposed to stretch the envelope. How do you think faith grows? You know, as I've shared over the last couple of weeks, I've been working out and things getting in shape and finally started losing some weight. It's been a long time since I wore these pants. And but anyhow, about the time I think, okay, maybe the soreness is over, I'm like, oh, God, why did I do all those sit-ups today? My belly hurts. I can't laugh. My arms hurt. I can't lift my arms. My chest hurts. Everything hurts. That's because you're building, you're stretching, and you're building more muscle. And that's what faith does. Faith has to build. It has to stretch. So if you're not asking for something, for God, some God for something out of your comfort zone, you're not using faith. Oh, but asking God to provide the gas for my car is faith. To a degree, I'll give you that. To a degree. But after he's provided, why are you still asking God for gas for your car? He's already done it, right? He will continue to do it. He will continue to provide. See, we were put in this world to possess the world, to take dominion over it, to rule over it. Not to destroy it, but to rule over it. So it means we're to continue going and growing. But we don't want to, we want to ask God for things that are right here on a shelf. We want to ask God for things that we can go up to the counter and write a check for and pay for it. That's, you don't need God to do that. Well, I need to ask God permission to do that. I need to know what his will is. Do you ask God for permission to go buy groceries? Do you ask God for permission and to go buy toilet paper? Lord, what brand should I buy? He don't care. He's just glad you're using it. So are the rest of us. But that's where we go back to. We keep falling back into our prayers, asking God for things that he's already done. And he's standing over here on the other side of our next victory saying, you need to believe for this. We look at that, oh, that's a stretch. That is such a stretch. How, I don't know if I can do that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, going back to weightlifting. If you're lifting weights and you're bench pressing, let's say you're at 200 pounds. Well, if you just continue bench pressing 200 pounds, that's as far as you're ever going to go. Your muscles are never going to go to where they can be pushed more until you take a little more a step and you put some more weight on there. And I can promise you, as soon as you take that weight off the stand itself and you go to bring it down, you're questioning yourself, what did I just do? I have never, ever done this before. But you see, when you come back down, you touch your chest and you push it back up, you're like, I did it. So the next time you go to do 210 pounds, it's not a question. You can do it. But you see, that's why we're supposed to be in our prayer life. We're supposed to be believing God for greater things. Oh, Lord God, I need a house. So you go fill out the loan application and you put the loan in through the bank and you jump out and what do you do? You praise God. Oh, praise God, he provided me with a house. Can I tell you something? You did that. I know that. What? No, you're the one who filled out the paperwork. You went the world. And then, listen, I'm not condemning anybody. I've got a mortgage, okay? No problem. I'm not about to go getting into this and focusing on, oh, I'm sinning because I'm in debt. You know what? Life's too short to worry about that. I've just come to the conclusion, forget it. I'm going to believe God and call forth things that aren't as though they are. But the house was something I could do. And I'm going to tell you right now, that was a stretch for me the first time I sat down and signed those papers. I don't know if you remember what it was like, but I thought, I've never, my entire adult life, I've not worked and made that much money yet. But it did not take God for that loan to go through. My credit score was good, and I had a job. I met all their physical requirements. What did take God was the fact that I went VA, and it was done in 2 weeks. I've heard people say it's taken 6 months sometimes to get those through properly. So if you can do it on your own, God didn't do it. God had nothing to do with it. You didn't need God on it. That's why he wants you believing for things that you can't do. There's some things I can't do. You're staring at me. My hair look funny? Okay. She keeps looking up at my hair. I'm getting used to it touching my forehead. But you see, God wants you to push outside of your envelope of comfort. And I'm going to tell you something, and you think, you're sitting here thinking, oh, pastor's going to tell me to start believing for a Ferrari. He's going to tell me to believe for a Mercedes. No, I'm not. Because you don't have Ferrari faith yet. I can promise you that. Because you choke at a $10,000 car, what are you going to do when you're looking at $250,000? Do you seriously think you can put a gas in a car that gets 10 miles to the gallon? You don't pass gas stations with Ferraris. You get there very fast, though, and you look good doing it. But other than that, you just don't pass them. So you don't have $250,000 for a car yet. You need to start believing God for the things that you can't do. You can ask Him, like my Trailblazer. I asked God what I wanted. Take me to what I want. This is the color I want. This is the package I want. This is what I want. And you know what? God led me right to the vehicle I asked Him for. I'm the one who filled out the loan papers, though. But trust me, that was a stretch on me. I'm like, are you kidding me? I could have bought a new car when I was in high school for this. A house cost what that thing cost new 20-some years ago. And we want to get into those who remember 30 and 40 years ago. I think it was your grandpa's house, and I don't know how many acres of farm he bought. Is it in the 30s? They're both out of here right now. Anyhow, it was like $2,300. And he was wondering how he would ever make that mortgage payment on it or ever pay it off. $2,300. $2,300 doesn't even cover closing costs today. Do you still need God in that? But God's asking you to believe for some things outside of it. Things you can absolutely have no control over. We prayed one time here on the floor for a couple that they were going to get married and they needed an apartment. So we prayed and asked God for an apartment. And we said we wanted that apartment with new carpet, new paint. And just as an added bonus, we asked God to do something with the deposit. I believe it was deposit or rent, something. They came back the next month for War on the Floor and they said, Pastor, you ain't going to believe this. We found an apartment that's just been repainted. They put new carpet in it. And it was either no deposit down or they got the first month rent free or something like that. God did exactly what we had asked. Because, listen, I'm telling you this because that was a stretch of faith greater than sitting over here, okay, I've got $10,000 car mentality, but I'm believing God for the $250,000 Ferrari. That little stretch right there did more towards growing that kind of faith than sitting over here saying, oh God, I thank you, I got my Ferrari. I thank you. But you can't even trust God and believe God yet for this. So don't sit over here saying that you're believing God for this, for that, when you really can't believe Him for this yet. Because you're still down here on this scale, down in the $1,200 car range. And I'm not bashing anybody's cars, don't get me wrong. I'm just using it as an example so that you can see about your faith. When you pray, ask God for something off the wall. That was totally off the wall, and God did it. Why? Because He loved us, and we asked it in Jesus' name. He said, whatever, Jesus told us, whatever you ask, whatever. That means anything. You ask God anything in His name, and He will do it. if we believe. There being the operative words, if we believe. See, we're saying we believe in God for the Ferrari, but we're really not. It's a pipe dream right now. We need to start believing God for, God bless them. Do something. Cause this to happen just because you love them. That grows faith. Changing your dream so that you can believe God for a million-dollar home. Oh, that's great. You better believe God for the million-dollar tax payments you're going to have on that. They got big tax payments. We a couple years ago, we drove by a house and it was like, oh, man, it was a beautiful house. Beautiful setting and everything. It had been repoed. Found out the house had been originally valued at over $400,000, maybe almost $500,000. It's here in the county. And, as a matter of fact, just outside of town. I went on the auditor's site and looked up. The taxes were, I think they were about $4,400 a year. The tax payment would have been almost what my mortgage payment is. Now. Yeah, I mean, it would have been, I think it was about 48 because it was an extra $400 a month just in taxes. You don't get those kind of taxes back. Keep that in mind. You don't fill in that form and show all your dependents and what it's cost you to live and all this, whatever. You don't get that back. That's just for the privilege of having your home in that county, which I understand what it goes to. Don't get me wrong. But you better be able to believe God for the finances to pay for all that. It's all great and dandy for us to come in and bless somebody. How many of you have seen the show, was it Extreme Makeover? Is that the one with Ty? Okay. You've seen that show and they come in, they find somebody that's destitute. And they come in and they bulldoze their house and in a week, boom, they got a McMansion, right? Did anybody ever question... Okay, they went, they could not maintain this little hovel. Now they got this big house with triple the taxes. Do you know how many of those homes have been repoed now because the people could not keep up the payment? We did it man's way. We did what we could do. Whoop, we would swoop in here and fix their home up. Well, I can tell you, by the way, they were keeping the first home. They weren't going to maintain that one. I saw one where the guy was a Marine, and he was disabled. I forget what was wrong, but he was living in a little shack of a house. I mean, it wasn't. But he had a barn full of, I mean, muscle cars and parts. You know, they weren't immaculate. But yeah, he lived in this little hovel of a house, and nothing was kept up. I mean, it was just, it was dirty. By the time they got done, they said, well, you know, let's just doze the house. They dozed the house, and they built this big old fancy house on it. The guy couldn't take care of the other home. He couldn't take care of the other home. And yet now they threw him into this 4,800-square-foot McMansion that, how's he going to pay for it? Because there was something I didn't know until later was they get them mortgages for those, some of the remodeling. It's not all donated. How would you like to? Oh, yeah, you're coming and bless me. Oh, yeah, here's a $250,000 mortgage on your property that was worth $50,000 a week ago. I thought you wanted to bless me. But see, we keep believing God for these great big pie in the sky things, and we're not believing God for off the wall things that are actually going to stretch us and work us. One of the greatest things I've seen happening in physical fitness period is people have realized it's not just bench pressing, squats, and all this other boring stuff personally. It's however it makes your muscles work. So they got people hanging upside down doing things with kettlebells now and whatever. There's all kinds of exercises. They even use these big rubber balls. And if it hadn't been for that, I've seen it on YouTube. I've been tempted to go run and jump on them. But I know what happens to you. But they're figuring out it's not all this big stuff that we've thought for all these years. Yeah, so what? You got big and big muscles in your muscle. You know, you walk around like this now. Yeah, so what? What are you going to do with your life? I'm going to bump up. That's all we're going to do. But a lot of these guys have figured out, hey, start doing some things that cause your muscles to work in a little different way, and you start developing other muscles. You start showing up things. So we need to ask God for off-the-wall things. Elijah called down fire. Elijah stopped the rain. And I was bringing this up the other day. Think about how Ahab and Jezebel were thinking. Elijah shuts up the windows of heaven so that there's not going to be any rain. They put a death warrant out for him. We want him dead. Now here's the catcher. It was only going to rain when he said so. The words had to come from his mouth. So you kill the man who holds the key to the rain. Smart. But why do you think God did that? It's because Elijah asked for off-the-wall things, and then he was able to grow, and he was able to control and affect things for good. Now, I know it doesn't sound like it's a godly thing to cause a drought on your land. He was affected by it too, but those who believed and trusted in God were protected. You got to understand this. God does not just say, oh, hey, Rob, Katie, I'm going to throw you into a drought without having a plan for them first. But it's going to require faith on their behalf. It's going to require faith on Elijah's behalf. Because remember, Elijah had to be fed by a bird. Now, Matthew 19, 26. Quoted this to you a little bit ago, but we'll read it. Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things. There's nothing in your life that you cannot ask for God and he cannot do it. Now whether or not he's going to right at that particular moment is another issue. That's why you do need to be paying attention. Okay, God, what is your will for my life? Where am I going? There was lots of things I used to pray for. They never came about. And I understand why some of them didn't come about. I asked God not to bring me back to Ohio. But here I am. And Ohio is not really all that bad of a state. And if you don't think so, go live in another state for a while and you'll see, okay, they've got their... Yeah, sure, Florida doesn't have any state income tax. What was the sales tax like, though? Oh, the insurance rate, yeah. Well, if you can even keep them in the state now, Allstate walked out. I heard that sales taxes were higher, so that's why I was asking. There's lots of different things, but God brought me back here. Because this is where, and guess what? Because he's brought me back here, I can grow in faith. I can't grow in faith when I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I can grow, I can stretch. Because the vision God has put in me is in here now. It's in you. And I have to keep asking God to stretch me. Okay, God, what do I need to believe for? What, you know, what about this? What about that? Lord God, we're starting a building project. This one isn't going like the last one did. This one we have to go to the state first. So we got to have blueprints drawn up first. Then we got to get everybody's permission. I hate asking permission sometimes. I always heard it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission sometimes, but now that I know that, I've got to be very careful. What's that? Yes. Yes, if you're doing it in disobedience to God, you will pay a very big price. But you see, now we're like, okay, we're going to do this thing. It's a stretch. But guess what? It's not just a stretch on me. It's a stretch on all of you. Because we've got everybody involved in this. Everybody is involved. We now have our building fund Sunday, fourth Sunday of the month. Bring in an offering. That's what we're going to put towards. By the way, as soon as plans are drawn up, we've got enough to pour the concrete between the buildings and have it all approved. And we'll see once we get the plans back what the rest of it's going to cost. But I'm estimating about $50,000. And that's a conservative figure, just so you know. If you've ever worked commercial, you'll know anything about it. It's triple. But God is our God. He's our provider. He's our supplier. And he takes care of everything we need. We needed fire-rated doors for the rooms. Each one of those doors on the bathrooms and the Sunday school rooms, those doors cost $1,100 a piece. I paid $40. You can't buy a good interior door for your home for that. You can barely buy a hollow core door for that. That's our God. He stretched us there. But you know what? He's not doing it quite the same this time. So it's causing a stretch on all of us now. It's causing us all to stretch. And it's causing me to stretch. I'm having to go stretch a little bit further so I can keep pulling you in with me. But that's why we ask God for these little things. Lord, just this little thing. Because guess what? All those little things add up. You may not see God moving in great leaps and bounds. It's because he's moving in the minute things that you just don't see yet. And then when you step back and you look back and you say, wow, God was there the whole time. He did something for me. And here's where I asked God to do this. Just, I thought it was totally goofy. By the way, that was not the only example. It's just the one that comes to my mind about the apartment. There have been many other times I've prayed and asked God for specific things. And they've happened. And it was because of faith. Because we were joined together in faith, believing that God was going to do something that we could not do. Okay? Yeah, let's go back to that. If you can do it, you don't need God. God will open the doors. He will make the way for everything he wants you to be doing. First thing you need to do is find out what his will is for your life. I know that's a hard thing to do. But you know what? It's actually more simple than it looks. The first thing is you're here today. That's the first step. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're in, you're out, you're not going to know where he wants you to go. Because you're getting the word here. You're getting stirred up in faith here. And then when you get out, and you're out, Lord God, what do you want me to do? He starts opening the doors for you. It was not until I finally decided that, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is my faithfulness. I'm going to bring my faithfulness to church up to this level. I brought it up to that level, and God started opening doors. I mean, it wasn't, I don't know how long it was. I just said, that's it from now on. It was a Wednesday night after church. Somebody, it was Kenny, right? And Deb? Yeah. Yeah. They asked me, or Kenny asked me, he says, do you know anybody who does painting, who paints houses? Well, Bobby was my supervisor. I worked over here at Cosmo, but I'd been kicking around starting a business. And I told him, I said, you know, I've been kicking around starting a business, painting. He said, well, I've got a lady we used to rent off of, and she called me and wanted to know if I knew anybody that could do this stuff. He said, do you want me to give her your number? I said, sure. It was my first job. A couple months later, I quit my job. And did something I loved, and it's something that God opened the doors for. God provided, and God did it. But it took stretching of faith the whole time. But it continued to grow. These are my notes, by the way. In Genesis 18:14, when God shows up to talk to Abraham, he says, you're going to have a son. Sarah hears in the background and she laughs. And Abraham says, is anything too hard for the Lord? See, they could not, even through surgery, through in vitro fertilization, none of that stuff, could they get pregnant. But God had to tell Abraham, is anything too hard for me? So when you're asking God for something, and I'm going to tell you right now, your mind's going to say, oh, but this is an impossibility. How do we do this? God's telling you, is anything too hard for me? Nothing is too hard for God. When God created these heavens and universe that we can see and those that we're just now discovering, when he created all this, do you think it was too hard for him? That he knew just the right amount of mixture to make everything happen. He's got the right amount of mixture of water and dirt to make you. Just think about that. You're just dust. Aside from all the preservatives we eat in our food and the preservatives they'll shove in our bodies when we die, we would turn back to dust. He knew the right combination to make that happen. Numbers 11:23. Let's go ahead and turn there. I'm going to go up to 21. And Moses said, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Has my arm been shortened that I can't reach out and do this thing? By the way, to set the stage for you, the children of Israel were tired of eating manna. We're tired of bread. We're sick and tired of manna. We got manna running out our ears. We'd been better off in Egypt. And God said, you know what? I'm going to give you enough meat, not for a day, not for 2 days, not for a week, not for 2 weeks, but you're going to eat nothing but meat for a month. You're going to be eating meat for a month until it's coming out your nose. By the way, those are his words. Go back up a couple verses. He said, it'll be coming out your nostrils. You'll be sick of meat. You will despise meat. And it's all because you said we would be better off back in prison. God wanted to take them step by step, believing just a little bit. Even Moses was having an issue with this. Come on, he's already seen God split the sea. He's seen God lead them by a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. He's already seen all this, and yet he's having a hard time comprehending that God's going to provide meat for 600,000 men alone. That doesn't include women and children. Throw that into the mix, and they estimated about 2.1 million. It's like feeding the city of Columbus. And God said, I'm going to do it so much that you're going to be sick of it. But then he had to ask, has my arm been shortened that I can't reach out and do this thing? Can I not provide? See, a lot of times we think that God's hand's too short, that he can't do that. Think about this. This was going from $10,000 vehicle mentality, forget the Ferrari, forget the Bentley. I can't even think of the name of that one. It was actually a bomb, they turned out. But it surpassed the Rolls Royce. It's a million-dollar car. Well, there's the Bugatti. Yeah, there we go. We went from VW bug mentality to Bugatti Royale mentality. We went from a car that you can pick up between $8,000 and $10,000 to a car that cost the manufacturer over $1 million to produce, and they're selling it for $1 million. Think about that business strategy. Oh, by the way, it's the same company that owns, VW owns Bugatti. That was funny. But you see, that's what happened to him. He couldn't comprehend that God's going to provide so much because he'd forgotten all the little things. He wasn't asking God all along the way just for a little thing every day. I'm going to challenge you today to ask God for a little thing. Just keep it up, because I'm going to tell you right now, that's what keeps your faith stirred. It's what keeps your faith stretching. Yeah, your goal might not be to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. My goal isn't either. It's just to be in shape so that I can go up and down steps without passing out. Or I can bend over and stand back up without doing this number. Some of you laugh because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Ooh, why is the room spinning? The room's not. But the thing you've got to do is you've still got to be able to maintain what you've got. And you do not sit still. As much as we like to think, oh yeah, I'm still as strong as I was 20 years ago. No, you're not. If you are not doing anything to maintain those muscles, you are a wimp. You're a weakling. Your body will fall apart. Your spiritual body will do the same thing. For the last several years, I hadn't done all that I had been doing. You know, when I had my own business, I was carrying bundles of shingles up on the roof by myself. I was doing most of that primarily myself. But then when I stopped all that, it's like, whoa, hey, I don't have to carry shingles anymore. I don't have to carry that bucket, all them tools up them steps. I don't have to carry all this stuff anymore. Well, my elbow started hurting. My shoulder started hurting. I kept flipping tendons in my shoulder. And finally, it got through to me. I've got to start maintaining what I've got and some strength. And it doesn't take much. You just get back in and start doing it. And it's the same thing with your prayer life. When you start asking God for this, just a little. Do you know how often, you know, and this is how my prayer life goes sometimes. Not my prayer life, but my faith. I'll be working on something, and I'll drop the only screw or the only washer or the only bolt that can fit in that spot. And I look down on the floor and I'm thinking, oh dear God, I got the Grand Canyon running north, south, east, and west in my floor. And the entire walls are lined with stuff. It could have bounced in behind that. It could have gone anywhere. And I'm saying, Lord God, please, where did this thing go? Where did it? And sure enough, it's a little thing, ladies and gentlemen, but it's keeping that faith working. It's keeping that faith pumping. It's not letting that faith just lay there. Oh, you've done that. You can sit back and relax. Do you know that that attitude is what got the rich young ruler in trouble? He sat back after his crops all came in, all the work, and he said, oh, so look at what you've done. You call him Jack. Jack, look what you've done. You deserve to retire now. Sit back and just eat and sleep and be merry. You don't ever have to do anything else again. God said, you fool, your soul will be required of you tonight. Because you see, what happens is, if we give up on faith, just like he was obviously a grain farmer. He looked back, oh yeah, I got enough I can retire on and never have to work again. But the problem is what he was creating. He created jobs. He created all this other stuff by having his. God was prospering him as long as he continued to go on and do what he was called to do. But the second he's like, well, I'm done, God said, you're a fool, because you will no longer bless or help anybody else. But you see, in our faith, if we quit believing for those little things, oh, Lord, I lost this. Where did I put this? And boom, I got a great one for you. Was it last week? Joshua, was that last week? in my truck? It was last Saturday night. Well, it was last Friday night, because Friday afternoon I'm pulling up here and I'm in front of the Cornerstone Cafe. It was hot and my truck just shut off. I mean, it ran out of gas on 314 the other day, and let me tell you right now, pushing 4,000 pounds uphill by yourself on 314 is no fun. It's amazing. You'd think all these guys driving by me in their pickup trucks would want to show off their pickup truck. Not a one. It took some guy in a little mini truck, which, by the way, had 5 love languages in his dashboard. 5 love languages. It's a book. And he had it in his dashboard. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Of course, and then after that, right after he'd left, I'd already called one guy to come bring me some gas. He showed up. Bob was coming back from one farm in a tractor. They both passed right there at the same time and didn't care. I'm like, and then Cheryl Haycock drove by right after that too. I'm like, what is this? We get the truck in the field and everybody I know who would have stopped and helped me comes. But anyhow, but my truck stopped last Friday evening. I mean, it just shut off and would not start. And it was 3 o'clock, so I called Joshua. I said, Joshua, before you go to work, bring your truck up here and just push me all the way into the parking lot, because I was just blocking the entrance. And he came, took his truck, and just pushed me into a spot. The truck started up, and then it shut off again. And I just think it got hot and basically locked itself up. But we came back a little bit later. He dropped me off, jumped in the truck, started it right up, and I brought it over here, parked it in the parking lot because we were having a yard sale. And I was going to get something. And I have a checkbook, it's a checkbook, and I now keep all my bank cards and stuff in it. And we tore his truck up and down looking for that. We searched the garage, we searched the house, we searched the driveway. And I got this sick feeling. I said, oh, Lord, did it fall out of Joshua's truck in that public parking spot on the main square of Mount Gilead where everybody walks through? I said, Lord Jesus, if it's there, blind people to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm at the monument, and I can see this woman walking across the right past where my truck had been parked. She walked right through the spot. She walked from me to Angela from my checkbook, and kept right on walking. My checkbook, with all the credit cards, church credit cards included, was in that spot, and there it was. It's just another little thing to ask God to do and stretch. It just keeps that going. But to build your faith, you got to start asking God for something a little more off the wall. Just beyond, oh, Lord God, please protect my checkbook. That's the warm-up exercises. That keeps you in shape. But then if you're wanting to build, you've got to say, okay, God, I cannot do this, and I'd really like to have this. I would like to be able to do this. I'm going to tell you, I don't know why, but I'm going to say it. Maybe you're believing God you'd like to put a big deposit for the building fund. Start believing God for it. You can't do it on your own right now. I can promise you, or you'd have already done it. Ask God to do it. The first time I believe God provided, a lot of people outside of this church gave in. I mean, we had people just giving money to the church back then. But I believe God wants to stretch his people in here now, and that's why he's doing this thing differently. He's growing. He wants people to stretch and start stretching their faith and start asking for something that they can't do. Because again, if you can do it in your own, you didn't need God in it. Yeah, he may have provided for it, but it's still something ongoing. Are you following me on that? So ask God to do things. He'll do it. Just like he told Moses. He says, I will do this. Is my arm too short to provide enough food for 2 million people? That's nothing. And as you know, God sent quail in. 3 feet high. Anybody that's ever known anything about quail don't fly at 3 feet. They're like pheasants and everything. They're jets. They take off. And you can't get them. Lost my notes. Good Luke chapter 1. What are you laughing at, Phil? Well, this assures that I don't have a super long message. No, it doesn't. I know. Go to 35 of chapter 1 of Luke. It says, and the angel answered and said to her, now this is Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. This was an old woman who was past the age of bearing children, and God came upon her, and she was able to conceive a son. So I don't care what you want to ask God. This was something, this was for her. Are you following me? This was a desire of her heart, the same as Hannah. Hannah's desire was for a child, and God gave her that desire. It was something for her. But you see, I think what's happened again is people are afraid to prosper for the Lord. They're afraid that the money's going to go to their head. They're afraid that things are going to go. Can I tell you something? As long as you've got God as your guide in all that, you keep yourself out of it and you keep God right here in front of you. He said, with God, all things are possible. Now, if you keep it to yourself, you keep, okay, I did all this. I've done all this. Yeah, now it's impossible. You will not. Your riches will take over. That's when things start getting hold of you. When you no longer see the value of what you've got and you start, I did, it's mine, all mine. I'm going to protect it. No, you forgot the source of it. You forgot where it came from. If God brought it into your life and you keep Him straight, or you keep Him in first and foremost in your life, you don't have to worry about that. You're not going to miss heaven just because you drive a nice car or you've got a nice home. Or guess what? Maybe you've got a jet. I don't know. I know fantasy-wise I always wanted a jet. I always thought about a jet pack, but now that I'm much older and I think about the dimensions of it. There's a guy over in Sweden, I think it is, or Denmark over there somewhere. They've got pictures of him flying with jets with a jetpack. Can I tell you, he's nuts? He's just loony. He's having the time of his life. But it might be a very short life. Because there's no ejection seat when you're the jet. Oh, there'll be an ejection seat, all right. Oh, Lord. Be like on the cartoons, Tom and Jerry, when they're falling, they're on their knees praying. But you can believe God for the most off-the-wall things, ladies and gentlemen. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Now, just so you know, there may take some time on some things. This is where people lose it. God didn't do it in my time. Well, there's your problem. It's His time, not your time. If God had given me everything I wanted in my time, I'd have probably been dead. Because while I didn't necessarily know any fear, I didn't have any common sense on some things sometimes. And sometimes I still wonder about that common sense part. But ask God for something. This week, I want you to challenge yourself. While you're praying, just ask God for just one little thing and watch. And I guarantee you, if you ask and you believe God's going to do it, not sitting there saying, well, I'm going to see if this magic trick of Pastor Arts works. It's not going to happen, I can promise you right now. But if you believe that God's going to do that just because He loves you, There's another thing we have a problem with, asking God just because he loves us. Sometimes Angela and I she'll come up and I'm like, what do you want now? You guys know what I'm talking about? I know that look. What do you want? And I'm, you know, and as any normal guy, what's in it for me? Well, she says, just do it because you love me. All right. You can never go wrong with that. Never. By the way, that works the other way too, guys. Why do I gotta rub your stinky feet? Just do it because you love me. I washed them, I promise. But you can do that and God will answer. He will do. But it's just faith. Simple faith. We joke about things in faith all the time. I was at her cousin's the other day in their shop, and they were putting a big transmission back in a semi-tractor. And they got it. They were trying to get it lined up, and they said, well, we need to move the jack. And Mark said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll put the shifter back in, and Art and you and Alan, you get up there and you hold the transmission up by the gear shifter. We're talking a transmission that probably weighs 900 pounds. There's no way we're going to hold that thing up. And the other guy's probably, I'm guessing he's in his 50s, and he's over there. And I said, Mark, evidently you got more faith in me. I said, I've been working out, but so I ain't been working out that much. I said, evidently you got more faith in me than I've got. And the other guy pipes up and says, I got faith in you, Art. You can hold it. That's the kind of faith we like to do in the church, isn't it? Hey, I got faith in you, Gloria. You will believe for you. You do that. I'm going to stand back here and see if you can do it. No, the thing was, it was Art and Alan holding that transmission up, not just Art. Art's tried that before. That's why Art's had back problems. We got the world to change. I got something in my eye. We've got the world to change, the world to affect. And we're not going to do it if we're not believing God can do those little things for us. Because if we can't believe God to do the little thing, how are we going to expect God to do the big thing? I mean, come on, the children of Israel are still, we're better off in Egypt. That's the song they started singing when they hit the Red Sea. And they look back and they see the cloud. There's a cloud of dust back there. Oh, we'd have been better off to have died in Egypt. Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to die. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I got a cartoon I got out of a Christian magazine years ago. It's got this Israelite wearing his sandals and everything. His arms are all, he's waving his arms, and Moses is standing there with his staff. And the guy says, we got the Red Sea in front of us and the entire Egyptian army behind us, and you say you've got to take it up with your staff? Pa-dum-pum. We don't understand sometimes. All God told him to do was stretch that staff out over. There's no magical power in that staff. There's no magical power. It was in the obedience and the faith. Moses didn't know what was going to happen. Moses never seen this before. But yet they, a couple months down the road, and they need some meat. Oh, man, we don't have any meat. We're tired of bread. We'd have been better off in Egypt. I will challenge you this while you're asking. Just because you don't see it right off the bat, first off, I encourage you to pay attention to what's going on in the situation you're asking God. But don't ever say you were better off without God. You're better off serving the world. Don't ever say that. God will show up on your doorstep in a way you don't want. Trust me, you don't want quail running out your nose. You don't want to be sick of the blessing of God. So many people are doing that today. They've been doing it, but they do it just because of religious reasons. Because they have absolutely no patience. That's why patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You got to have it. All right, let's stand. I've rambled on long enough. Some of you mothers have got dinners to go to, dinners to be cooked for you, or maybe an afternoon nap. Angela says all the above. I do. I want to thank you all. All you women who are, you know, your mothers. I see what my wife does for my children. They don't always see what she does. What she does. Yeah, I said it right. Didn't sound right. What she's given up. Because I'll tell you right now, out of any of us that's given up sleep for the kids, it's been her. She's given up a lot. And as a father, as a husband, I thank you. But you guys have a big job. And we don't take that lightly. Because I guess the thing is, no matter how old you get, you're still a father. You're still a mother. You're always going to have those kids. They're always going to be your babies. I'm nearly 42, and my mom still says, "Oh, you're just my baby." I'm like, "Mom, come on. I'm just glad you didn't come to boot camp and do that to me." "Oh, my baby." I'd have never heard. They'd have thrashed me back at the barracks just for that. But you're loved. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you once again for a glorious day. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray now that you begin to grow this word into each and every heart. Lord, that everybody here, everybody who hears this message, will stretch their faith just a little bit to ask you something off the wall. And Father, they'll keep up that practice, Father. They'll keep that practice up, not only just to maintain their faith, but to go beyond where they're at, and to stretch, to come out of that VW bug faith, to come up to the Bugatti faith. To be able to believe you for everything. That no matter what comes up against them, no matter what tax bill, no matter what repair bill, no matter what shows up on their doorstep, you are more than enough to take care of it. And now, Father, again, I bless the mothers. I pray that you pour out a supernatural blessing on them. Father, strength like they've never known before, from the youngest to the oldest. Clarity of mind, Lord God, that they'll be able to think clear, that no matter what's going on around them, Father, they will be able to think in season and out of season, Father God, that things will be ready at a moment's notice. And now, Father, I bless your people. I thank you for going before them, Lord God, for making their path straight, for opening doors that the devil has closed on them, Lord, for opening opportunities that have been shut away from them. Lord, I pray that you bless your people. Bless them. Bless everybody in here some way today, just because I'm asking, because you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.